What's going on, guys? Eric Black here. Parker Miner over there. Right there it is, right. Hey, guys, thanks for joining us. This is Rockcast. This is another episode. Yeah, no, this is not the same one that you've seen. Unless you're seeing it again, then it's probably the same one. But this is going to be another one that you've already been through probably two or three times, I hope. That's twice. Probably pretty much what we're trying to do. Welcome. This is season two, and we've made it. It's true. We are here again. For some reason, someone said, this is a good idea. So we said, it's on you now. It's not our fault. We did it once, and you said, okay, so this is your fault. We got a good group of people on the show today, not just us. I mean, I think we're kind of a good group of people, but there's a better group of people that's coming on the show. Parker, I'm going to let you actually do this, because I haven't heard your voice in so long that I need it. So who's on the show?
Let me introduce the gentleman of love and death, Mr. Brian Head Welch. He's either here, 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 or here. And of course, Mr. Jason, right?
Yeah, that's right.
How do you say the last name, Jason?
Oh, Rao rhymes with cow. Imagine
that's,
that. Oh.
That's what we said. I was going to do it. And I was like, every time I do it, I get it wrong. So I was like, shh.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah.
Man.
Glad to be here.
Very cool. Very cool.
What'd you say, Ed?
Everybody says Rauch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rauch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's an acceptable
He looks like
answer.
A Rauch.
Yeah. That's what people say. I'm okay with it.
Rauch. That's a good name.
It's not bad. Yeah. You know, it's one of those names where you mess it up all the time. And just, that's just how it is,
yeah.
But it's not bad.
True.
It's not bad, guys. Now you guys are in a band called Love and Death. Now, obviously Head, you're in Korn, you know, Jason, you're in Breaking Benjamin, but we're going to talk tonight about Love and Death, because this band, is just, it keeps doing some amazing things. So we appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight. It's very, very kind of you. Very nice of you. We are a lonely people.
We are.
It's nice to have guests on the show. So appreciate
that. When you aren't here, we're literally here every time. The whole time. We don't leave.
It's just a constant stream of weirdness.
It's weird.
Although, very weird. You're on your second season. I can already tell that it's going to grow and keep going, because you guys have it.
Got the thing. The X Factor.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but all right, we'll take that.
We'll take it. We appreciate it.
I hope that is good. So here's the thing. Now, Love and Death has been, it's been around for a little while, but there's been some, you know, there's been some things and been some changes, been some all that good stuff. How did you guys become, let's say, friends? How did you guys get together and say, this sounds like a good idea? Let's see if this works.
I was actually living in Phoenix, Arizona at the time, and you know, I left the band, I left Korn, and I was raising my daughter and out of music for a while, and I wanted to get back into music. And I liked this producer named Rob Graves, who lived in Nashville. And Jason co-founded the band Red and worked with Rob. And so I met him through Rob Graves, and we just connected and started working together a little bit after that.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Jason, how did you feel about doing all this good stuff?
Man, it was fun because I've been involved with the project obviously for a while and in very different capacities too. So it's something that obviously I have a lot of pride in being involved and in being a member of. And but with Brian, you know, it's one of those things for me, I guess. You work with your band, the same guys for years, and you guys speak the same language, and you you can get on. Not that autopilot's a bad thing. If you're lucky enough to have a career that you can do that, you kind of get to keep speaking the same language. But you also have other influences. You also have other things that you do. And so with Brian, kind of be able to pair up creatively on different things outside of that and do things, again, that Brian and I wouldn't typically do in our day jobs, so to speak, you know, in our band. So super rewarding and inspiring to me, because he still to this day will come up with stuff I'm just like, of course you came up with that. I don't, why wouldn't I? That, of course, you know, it's this crazy thing that you could put on paper and it'll say that will never work. And he just does it. And you're like, well, okay, it does. I stand corrected, and it's super inspiring and it works. And so, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, as far as how I feel about it, it's a really cool, rewarding process. And to be here years later with where we're at with things is a pretty cool place to be.
So is this
when I have those trippy, trippy sounds or chords or whatever, he doesn't say the truth, that he makes it make sense, because sometimes I'm like abstract and all over the place, and he'll bring it in as producer and help it make sense. So it's yeah, definitely effort.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. It's a team effort, if you will.
Yeah,
for sure. So being that you guys are in other bands, and this is something that's different, twofold question. How has Love and Death helped your other bands, or has it? And then how have your other influences, your other band influences helped, you know, where you're at with Love and Death?
I mean, I'll just start. For me, it's like Korn is my band, right? I mean, I've been back for like coming on 9 years and just love the guys. And Jason's Breaking Benjamin project, that's his band, you know? And so we love our projects. And, you know, some people get confused online even. And they're like, wait, are these? Dude, our bands are our life. We have some exciting things with Korn coming out next year, but there's an equally excitement with this other thing. I just love Jason's writing skills, his production. I love working with Joe Rickard, who produced as well, and JR. I wanna see him grow musically. He's sharing vocals with me, JR Barais, and guitar, and he's writing a lot more. And it's just a fun project, man. I think it's more like, I don't want to say commercial. It's lighter than Korn, and so I can get away with stuff like that on this. I've always liked vocals. I'm not the best at it, but I love creating, and especially screaming.
Yeah.
And so it's just a fun project. I really love doing it. That's it. It's like a passion project
it should be.
Yeah. Mm. It's more collaborative effort though. You know, with these guys in Breaking Benjamin that came to the table and wrote a lot on this record, and it came up a level, and so I'm even more excited about it this record.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think you're asking about influence between, you know, our bands and with the Love and Death project, and I think it's a mutual thing. So conversely, they go back and forth. I think there's things that working with Brian, who with Breaking Ben, there are certain sounds, there are certain parts, there are certain approaches and the ways of seeing things through his lens that we wouldn't typically see. And then vice versa, bringing stuff in from the Breaking Ben camp. But in doing that, like I said, it's just this symbiotic thing that goes back and forth, even on newer Breaking Ben material working on. I feel the influence after working on a project like this, you know, like you say, with JR, with Joe and the other guys involved, just different minds thinking about the same thing. You know, songwriting sometimes is like you're trying to solve this math problem. You have all these, it's a little cloudier than just a black and white answer, but everybody's coming in with their tools and the trade and how they would see things and how they would solve this problem and what they would bring to the table. And you will hopefully walk away at the end of the day with this piece of music. And that's a really cool thing for this, because there's so many takeaways, not only from us in our bands that we're pulling back, but then what we're bringing from our history with the bands that we're in. So it's a pretty cool thing. And like he had said, it's not something for us that we need an escape from our bands.
Right.
It's not something that we're looking for. If I don't have this thing, I'm going to explode. It's just a really rewarding thing because we get to play and go to work. You know, it's refreshing. It keeps us inspired and doing something new, even working on Breaking Ben and Korn albums simultaneously while we're doing this kind of stuff and working on those ideas. They're very different. We can keep them compartmentalized and be inspired in both ways, but it's both of them are nurturing and inspiring.
Do you ever get deals at the label when you want to do like bulk recording and things like that?
Oh man, that's a great question. I need to spin that next
that's
time.
A great idea. Will you be our manager?
I mean, yeah, I know. I'm gonna send you some documents after this.
Yeah, that's right.
What you look over.
Fair enough.
He's ready.
Fair enough.
For the record, I'm not saying that Korn is working on new music. I'm just saying we got some exciting things coming next year. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. I hope everybody has some exciting things coming next year, because this year is some sort of dumpster fire that, you know, we need to just end it.
Is it over yet?
Oh, my gosh, dude. But I will
say, right?
Is this still 2020?
I will say, yeah, right. I will say this, man. It's not all bad. I mean, I know we've seen a lot of bad things. I know that there's been some, you know, some issues and things like that. But man, if you really want to find it, there actually is some good in this world that's happening right now. And you just got to look in the and see it.
Bro, yep. It's just a hot mess in a lot of ways, but you know what? I lost my ass in 2008, you know, when all that stuff was happening, when everybody was losing homes and money and all this stuff. And so this time I feel like I got through a lot better and I'm finding other things to do, you know, other business adventures and I'll dabble in real estate a tiny bit. And so it's been good, man. But I see people, you know, trying to support each other better, you know, which is good. I mean, you get lost in all the crazy division out there, like the politics and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you turn that stuff off, you can see a lot of people trying to support each other, you know, which is very, my spirit seeing that. So
yeah, I've cut it off myself. I've done the same thing.
Yeah, you got to, bro. It's like,
yeah,
I'm not getting stuck in that left and right side. I'm not going to go there.
No, you know, not at all. Yeah.
Obviously, we have our beliefs and what we want for our country and everything, but I'm not going to like go against and at war with my fellow American over it.
Yeah.
It's just deteriorating our society, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, you know, there is some good out there. There's actually a lot of good. And you just, like you said, you just got to look for it. You got to find it and just shut off.
It's called Rockcast.
It's called.
That's it. We found it.
Yes.
One of those things. Yeah. So we are just shy of the dumpster fire. But we're making
I'll take it.
But yeah, you know, there's let's see. What I'm finding too, this is pretty awesome. We've got some friends here in Nashville that we met them because of what we're doing now. They were crew members, you know, they set up the stages or they were sound or lighting or all that stuff. And once COVID hit, obviously nobody could do anything. So they said, what are we gonna do? Well, instead of just slumping over and saying, I can't do it, I quit. They decided to pull out all the stops that they had. They contacted all the vendors that they knew, all of the previous sponsors or whatever they had, and they started this little it's not actually little, it's a pretty decent sized production company here in Nashville called Hello TV. But our first experience with them was just kind of seeing what they were doing online and all that stuff, man. And they were just they've got a pretty decent sized staff over there too. Mm-hmm. The short version of this is it was so cool just to see somebody doing something, you know, that the music community is specifically what we're talking about right now, but it's community in general. But it was so cool to see those guys saying, you know what, we're going to help these people out. There are people, you know, there are people that are in need. And otherwise we're just going to sit here and not do anything. So what can we do? And they figured it out and now they're making it happen, man. It's pretty awesome. I dig it.
Very cool.
That's encouraging. And it's like, yeah, stories like that are inspiring and they, you know, and they'll trigger someone else to go and do something unique like that.
Right.
Yeah. Our industry is so small, but at the same time, it's a family too, man.
It is.
You know, you tour for long enough and you run into the same people. Hopefully some of the, you know, the bad weeds go elsewhere, but the cream of the crop rises. And so you see these people, everybody's rooting for each other.
Yeah.
And there's it is small, but there are so many people, like you had mentioned, so many positions from lighting guys, to front of house guys, sound guys, guitar techs, production managers, stage managers, merchandise. Like there's so many aspects, bus drivers, truck drivers. It's affected everybody. And it is encouraging to hear things like you're saying. And I think everybody's really on that same a place like we want this to continue. We want these people that are great at their jobs to keep doing that and be able to come back to it and not be so far behind and drowning from this time of being off. And you know, some guys that's been their career for 20 years. They haven't done anything else in 20 years.
Yeah.
And you know, to have this time off and be like, well, you know, even if that we had time off from the road, they'd go work at some local venue or they would pick up another tour or whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
So it's good to see optimism for sure.
Yeah.
So everybody's looking after each other.
But I don't know how many crew member fundraisers I've been a part of. You know, it's just like people come together like that to help out, you know, the crew or the roadies or just all kinds of different things. And I've seen, I've talked to many other bands. I've gotten guitars from other bands donated things. And so that's been cool to see. You know? Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, and I think too, it's one of those things where that's why, one of the reasons why Rockcast is happening, because we wanted to support. But I think one of the cool things that we're seeing is that,
yeah,
again, man, they're people are helping. People are not as evil as we're led to believe. I mean, we are inherent, but you know, the way that we're being bombarded with all of this crap that's coming at us, people are actually doing very well right now. And again, there are some of those people that unfortunately, they just, they're not doing very well right now. And hopefully we can help those people, you know, too, but they're so, I don't know, man, I'm overwhelmed by actually all of the good. You know, I was originally, when all this started, overwhelmed by all the bad. You had to be, because it was in front of your face. It was constant.
Yeah.
And you know, like we were talking about, you just got to turn that off, man. You got to turn it off, and you got to obviously pay attention to the things that need to be paid attention to, but man, you got to get out of that mindset. It is a horrible mindset to be in. It's not good for your health. It's not good for anybody, actually. So stop it.
It's toxic. Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah. stop mm-hmm. it.
That's one reason we wanted to have you guys on, man. We know how much of a positive influence you guys have in the industry, and just, you know, as people in general. So we're glad to have you guys on.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we're all in this together, even outside of the music industry. You know, we're talking kind of about that, but it does extend to everything. And, you know, even talking to my neighbors and stuff, having this time off, and a lot of out here, there's a lot of people in medicine, you know, nurses and doctors and things like that out here. And even those guys, I mean, we're going to talk about taxed and working all the time and stressed and everything else. I mean, they're in the thick of it. Yep. And, you know, it's hard to see from our perspective, but it just affects everybody.
Yeah.
It's with this project, again, I think it's something cool that was refreshing to us, because we got to be a little bit more deliberate about that and realize that, like, you know, especially in heavy music, you know, you talk about subjects, a lot of times you talk about hurt, you talk about pain or whatever, but in especially in a pandemic as we find ourselves, I think that's the unifying thing, right? So we all can relate to that. Yeah. We all have things that we wish were better right now. Man, what I wouldn't give to go back to this time last year, you know, going into the holidays or whatever, is pretty probably common dialogue that's happening in homes. And so,
yeah.
But as negative as that is, it's also unifying. And that's totally something we tried to go after with this thing, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Christmas is, yeah, I agree with all that. Christmas is so weird this year. I got to travel. And then I got to find like a COVID testing place. My dad had open heart surgery, triple bypass a month ago. Gosh.
Oh man.
Mom couldn't even go in to be with him. And so he's doing great though. Good. So thank God. But I'm like, I found myself jumping up and down today, 'cause I found a 24-hour COVID testing place at LAX. I mean, you get excited about the weirdest things.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's going to be a weird Christmas, but we're going to make the best of it. And, you know, just make sure my dad's nice and safe, and we're basically going to be stuck in their house. So me and my daughter, she's 22, she's trying to come up with some board games we could play with them, because I can't go to friends' houses and then come back to my dad's house, you know, just in case. Ultra careful. So it's interesting Christmas, but everyone's positive about it. And I know that there are many people that are probably worse off. You know, I know that holiday seasons are a trigger for a lot of people too, with mental health issues. So,
You
know, I'm just trying to be positive and thankful. Sure.
I wrote this down the other night, and it's kind of a random thing, and now I have to figure out where I put it, but it's,
here we go.
Here we go. This is, where did I put it?
Is it the Pin 15 Club?
I'm going to have to find that here in a minute, because it is not.
Hey, Brian, why he's looking for that? We have a mutual friend, Hayden Meath, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's Hayden doing, man? I know he had something happen to him like earlier this year, didn't he?
So are you in Nashville? You guys are in Nashville?
Yeah, we're in Nashville.
Dude, we got to go hang.
Yeah, man.
after COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but, for sure. That'd be good.
Dude, Aiden Meathy is my boy.
Yeah, man. He's good. He's a good dude.
Great dude. I mean, their family has been through so much. I've known them since around 2011.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long you've known them, but they've escaped death multiple times with car accidents, with you know, hospitals, baby births, and you know, he just had a massive heart attack and basically died for a few minutes and was brought back to life. And so him and his wife have 8 children. They're amazing.
Yeah, they're amazing people.
Yep.
I was going to say, I'll tell you how long I've known him is, I can't think of the year, but we had Ray in Nashville. It was a corn show. It was Bridgestone Arena. And it was as soon as they redid the arena where you could actually go underneath to get to backstage, where you'd have to go through Music City Center, I believe, to go to the underneath. So Ray was doing an interview with us back then, and I guess he didn't know. It was brand new. He didn't know how to get back there. And it was like, hey, their management's calling us. We got to get back. He didn't know how to get back. So he looked at me. He was like, do you know how to get back there? I was like, yeah, let's go. So we went, and I got in the car, and I think Hayden was driving, or he was in the back, one of the two. And I'm pretty sure that you had hopped in last minute and got in real quick, and we rode down through the I mean, this was like probably 10 years ago, but we rode down there, and it was about the time that I had my kiddo. He's 6 now. So maybe it was about 6 years ago. So I'd had my kid, and he did a big prayer in the back of the car for me, and was like, man, they're so awesome people. So
yeah. But he looks like a freaking scary guy with a big
He does. Yes.
And so I love that, because you don't think that family is the way they are, but you know, it's like, you know, just all the religiousness you see in the world the last few decades. Like, I love that there's different colored type of people, you know, with different personalities, different looks, different, you know, all that. And that go to and just hang out at, you know, does the stuff that normal people do, you know, like go to concerts,
right,
all that. So, yeah, great people. Well, I got nothing but good to say about them.
Eric and I have had that same conversation recently. Just, you know, we can all be good people, Christian people, whatever, man. You can go out, still enjoy shows, and be a good influence on these people while you're doing it. I mean, it's all in how you act.
Yeah, so, agree. How you treat people, yeah.
So here's what I wrote down. I hope 2020 is the prodigal son, and 2021 is the father welcoming us home with a party. That's what I'm hoping for. So we'll see what happens 2021.
I like it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it. I think we've all been pretty naive, and we're like, man, what's 2021? Gets here, it'll all be behind us. I think it might, you know, whatever. But I'm still hanging on. Yeah. I'm ready. You know, let's just turn the calendar.
Yeah, we've got a long haul, but it's one of those things where in our mind, new beginnings is what we're trying to, you know, trying to figure out. So, let's see.
16 more days.
Nobody's counting or anything.
Well, wait a minute. It's January right now. That's never right. mind.
All right. So I'm going to go back here real quick to, I think really both of you have said this, to where, you know, Love and Death is not, you don't consider this a side project. This is just something else you're doing. This is another project that you're doing. Mm-hmm. I want to touch a little bit more on that. I know we did briefly, but I really want to make sure that, because this is a conversation that we have a lot with, you know, with artists and things like that, where their fans seem to think that just because they have another project that they're going to leave. But I really want people to understand that that's hardly ever the case. At least in our experience, that's hardly ever the case. They write music and then they want to do it somewhere else, so that they go do it somewhere else. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
So if you guys could just touch on that just one more time, and just make sure that everybody knows, like, look, there's, how do you feel about this? Like, this is something that we wanted to do. We went over here and we did it, and that's really the end of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, Maynard, it'll do Tool, and then he'll do Perfect Circle, and nobody has this threat of it being a side project or one overtaking the other. They're different things, they're different entities, and they're both energizing to them, you know, and Chris Cornell, the same sort of thing with Audioslave and,
man,
you know, Velvet Revolver. All there's lots of those bands out there. And it's more than just being a super group. Like, that thing got thrown around for a while. But I just think, as a creative person, Stephen King writes horror, but some of his best stuff is in the drama world, or it's in on writing. It's nonfiction. It's, you know, there's so much other material there. Here, the problem is when you're in a band that has a particular branded sound, whether it be for us, Breaking Benjamin or Korn, that language that you're speaking to your audience with, it's kind of, you have to tread lightly to deviate too much from that, because you're gonna, you know, everybody's got something to say. Everybody has opinions. And you have something for that brand that works, and you want to keep doing that. You want to keep inspiring in that way. But it doesn't mean you have other things that you don't have. Other, you know, a lot of songwriters here in Nashville, they get to sit behind the scenes and work on all kinds of different stuff, and nobody would question it. But for, as a band member, now it's like, oh, okay. Like you were saying, there's this dichotomy of, is this your side project? What's going to happen with this other thing? That then they can't mutually exist, and that's pretty far from the truth. So for us, it's not a throwaway thing. It's not something we do. It's more than something we do in our spare time. It's something that we're just as passionate about, and we're passionate about it by definition, because it's a different thing and allows us to do stuff that we wouldn't do otherwise.
Right.
And we have worked on this off and on for the last 5 years. It's not like we just have for COVID. It's just, it's something that we really love to do, because, to be honest, like this, we make better money in our full-time bands. You know, this is something that we do. We don't make a lot of money, but we love doing it, and we'll keep doing it as long as, you know, if people are gonna dig it and check it out. Because this new album, front to back, it's not a, it's there's no filler songs on it. It's really a album, and I'm just, you know, hats off to all the guys that we're working with, because it's, I'm not patting myself on the back. It's just the collaborative effort paid off, and I think it's going to grow the listening audience to a great degree. I think it's just another level. And like I said, we don't make a lot of money on it, but we do it because we just love it. We can do some other type of music besides Korn and Breaking Benjamin. And our guys in our other bands are, you know, we talk to them every day. You know, I hit up Monkey. I was, hey, check this song out. I'm going to release a song. Of it, I'm mixing. You know, I was sending them to Monkey from Korn and say, "What do you hear on the mix? Let me know." Because you know, we're all just fans of music and musicians, and we love to do art. That's it.
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. I think that you know, and in my life, and I know Parker's the same way, that if we didn't have multiple things going on, I think we would all go crazy, especially right now. I can't, for some reason, I can't do just one thing. I have to do six or eight things. I'm only equipped to do three, but I like to do six or eight because I'm an overachiever.
I'm gonna steal that. I like that.
You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, you're this particular. So, Lo, I do video production. So there's something over here that I like to do in voiceover world, which coincides with video production. There's something over here that I like to do with Zoom, you know, Zoom calls or conference calls or whatever. It's the same thing. It's just, it's something that you like to do. It's something else that you like to do. It's another outlet for you. So I that's enough on that. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was clear that this is just another form of these guys. It's nothing.
Yeah.
Well, bro, I appreciate that. Absolutely.
Bro, you got to do a voiceover for us. That's I knew you had that voice.
He does. Dude,
well, let's see. Let's see. Okay. So let me think of one. Do you want like a monster truck, like Sunday type thing, or wait, or do you want like a concert promo?
Do them both.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
the pressure's on.
Let's see here. So we'll do the monster truck rally thingy first. It has been a minute for that one. Let me think here. I had to open my mouth.
Did you poop? Did you poop before you did that?
No pressure at all. Well, in that case, short would be Sunday. That would be the shortest version of that. Corn truck. Well,
sounds like an Electronic Express commercial.
Kind of the same thing. And then if you have like a concert promo, we'll just use Sunday again because that seems like a good day. This Sunday, don't miss Love and Death at blah, blah, blah venue, 7 p.m. Tickets go on sale Friday morning at noon.
That's a good one. That's it.
Yeah. Friday morning at noon.
Arena.
You have the voice for radio. I've got the face for radio. You have the voice for it.
So. I have the lower extremities for radio. That I don't know what that means, but that's... I don't know. I was told that one time, so... Anyway. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about JR and being 15 years old and 1,000-foot crutch. Can you put all those dots in order and connect them for me?
Yes. So, okay. I was touring as a solo artist before Love and Death. A guitar player that was with us, Scott Von Helt. I still talk to him to this day every once in a while. And either his girlfriend was pregnant or he was broke from being in our band or both. And he was just like, I can't do it. I can't be broke anymore. And so he needed to walk away from the tour. And we had just a few weeks before the tour started. So I was like, let's just try to find someone. And we found this kid. He looked young and he looked like he can afford to live on like $50 a week. So
worked out. Taco Bell.
It was.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, I thought it was 22, 23 or something, you know? So we hit him up and he's like, hey, my name's GR. And so, we're just calling. We saw your video for 1,000-foot crutch. Thought you might want to try out for our band for this tour we're doing. Okay, I'm going to ask my dad. Wait, how old are you? I'm 15. Oh. So we talked to the dad. Somehow my tour manager didn't hang up on him. And talked to the dad, and he's like, yeah, take him on tour. He can do homeschooling or whatever, computer schoolwork. And brought him on tour. I signed this paper that said I was his guardian. The tour manager signed the same paper. And he basically tried doing work for like 15 minutes and then quit school on the road with us. Got his GED later. Wow. So that was it. And you know, he was just really good. He had the chops down. He was very quick. He can learn a song like backstage and then play it live.
Yeah.
In fact, 2015, I was on tour with Korn. He was guitar teching for me. I got a kidney stone in Russia. JR finished a tour with me and he played the show the night I went to the hospital. He learned all the songs that day, played the show that night. So he's really quick.
Wow, damn. And,
you know, we haven't been doing stuff every year. You know, we stayed in contact, but once Love and Death kind of went to the back burner because of Korn, you know, we started working on songs around 2015, just a couple of weeks, a few days or something for that year. And then 2016 and then 17, I don't think we did nothing. 18, we went into another studio in Chicago and started working on stuff. So, you know, he's just, he's developed and now he's a man. I think he's like 25 years old and teenager, you know, and it just, it's like a kid's dream come true, right? Like
go
and leave school and be a rock star or whatever it was at that time. So I want this kid to make it big. I want him to make at music. He deserves it. He's the most non-confrontational, like a drama queen at all. He's like, he's so easy to get along with. He's very talented. He just has some quirky little, like he's young, you know? And so he has some quirky things, but it's nothing.
I got those as an adult. I don't have any excuses. Right.
Yeah.
Like I want to put in my will that J.R. Barice gets my position in Korn if I die.
He's that kid, man, though, at 15 years old, at 25 now, or however old he is, mid-20s, he has the same drive.
Wow.
Like, he just has this thing. And we were talking about that it factor, the X factor. Like, he has it. I mean, he's just he's not doing anything different than he did in his bedroom at that age. Right. And I think, you know, Brian,
that's awesome.
Brian and I, unfortunately, were probably the same same way. He's just made less mistakes than we have. But he, you know, he had good people to look up to, I guess, or learn from our mistakes. But he just has it. He has the drive. He has the foresight to see ahead of the future a little bit musically, as far as his influences go. And he brings a lot to the table in that way, because it's such a cool, fresh and modern perspective on things that he just comes up with stuff. You challenge him like, hey dude, this source needs some guitars. Okay, man. And you get five file stems back, five different parts. Some are clean, some are sped up, some are this, some are octaves, some have octaves on it, like all different creative stuff. Again, same thing. Like, man, I wish I would have thought of that. And he just has it. Man. He's always had that. Really cool.
That's kind of like, and if, kind of like Parker for us.
Back, better,
like, go ahead, Brian. What were you saying?
I don't believe it matters. It's all about you guys. So. No, I was just saying that if a riff sucks, he'll have a better riff the next day. It's like he just keeps spitting them out. So.
Yep.
That's crazy. Natural. That's cool. Was it weird signing that paper though? Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Very. Yeah. I guess I was his guardian on the road, but I was very abusive guardian. So.
Yeah. Hazing. That's not abuse.
Yeah. Dude, hazing's different.
That's Talk about hazing a tour member, you know, it's like this kid's 15, you know, it's like he got the everybody was just messing with him constantly.
Oh, yeah. All the crew guys, man. Their other bands, everything.
Wow.
That's like the MacGyver of our group.
Well, and he's grown up in it now, too. So, you know, he's still the baby. You know, that kid that you used to babysit, or your neighbor or whatever, and then you don't see him for 10 years and come back and he's still 7 years old in your mind. Like, that's JR.
He's you still treat him the same.
Like, do you need to call your dad, or do you need to? Sorry, JR.
Weird. Well, that's awesome, though, man. That's one of those unique stories that not everybody gets to have. It's pretty pretty cool. Did Thousand Foot Crutch even consider him?
Oh yeah, he didn't. I think that the guitar player that they parted ways with came back, so they did the whole thing for nothing.
Oh my god.
Yep. Yeah, I remember that, because there was a reason that the guitar player was leaving at the time, and it got resolved. And I think that kind of capped that off. And by that time, you know, he was working with Brian full time, so it worked out for everybody.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Earache Records. Mm-hmm. Now, these guys, they're based in Nottingham, England, but they also have offices in London and New York. One, I think that's pretty awesome. Just that, just right there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys been to their other offices?
Nope. I don't know if you heard, but there's like
a
pandemic and stuff. We just had a record deal, but we couldn't go visit them because New York is basically the worst part.
It's a ghost town, man. Yeah.
So didn't make it, but stoked that they believed in us and are stoked record, and they you know, they've done some great work with bands over the years, and like recently Rival Sons, you know, they've done a lot of stuff amazing with them, and so we thought it would be a good team and someone that could really, you know, get the word out there and, you know, get some ears on this record so that this project can grow to another level. And so we're very thankful for them. They're cool.
Very nice.
Cool
people. That's awesome.
They're hustling. That's what you want. That feeling that somebody's working for you because and with you that because they want to be there and that they believe in it as well. Their livelihood's on the line, just like ours is, you know. And if you're about partnering with anybody, whether it be management, label, agent, something like that, ultimately that's the goal, is to find that connection to where, like, hey, we're in this together. We're making or breaking each other here. Let's all get mutually invested in go after 100%. Yeah. Sometimes that doesn't always work out, you know. So it's cool to be we're at with this relationship with them, and really, I believe them. You know, that they're putting money where their mouth is, their time, their efforts and things like that. So yeah. Cool thing. See, it's refreshing. It's from the music industry side.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
What is this pandemic that's keeping, what is the pandemic that you are talking about that's keeping everybody from locusts. Traveling?
Yeah.
Locusts.
It's a plague. It's a, yeah, not a plague.
It
yeah.
sucks.
It's happening yeah. again.
Stupid bugs.
So rumor has it, gentlemen, that you guys are going to be doing a live stream here pretty soon. And there's a lot more information that we're going to get into on that. But is this something that you guys have done before in any of your bands, or is this something new totally?
I've never done it. Done like live events where some different companies, no free shout outs. But some different companies will come out like, hey, we're going to broadcast your thing. You know, we're going to come to the show and film it and do a live thing. But never start to finish this conceptualized, let's do something that, you know, there's no audience participation in it. There's a but something that's exclusive just for the streaming content. I've never done anything like that. Have you, Brian?
The only thing I can think of is doing some of these guitar session.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Okay. BBC One does something, okay. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done over the years, but this has been a first for me, man. Just putting this together and getting people on the schedule, and it's going to be
amazing. Yeah.
To get these, you know, we've got special guests that we're keeping secret, but they're going to come in and and rock it with us. So, you know, just and I'm a little insecure with vocals, so me saying yes to this. Is a huge thing, is a huge step to, I don't know, because when you're doing in this capacity, like online, you know, you can hear stuff. So,
yeah. It's a totally different environment. Yeah, it is bearing, putting it all out there. But and this would be a cool thing, man. I mean, even to talk to old Kirk, we've been able to involve some of our crew guys and things like that. And it's just like, hey, do you want to come out and work this thing that we're all looking forward to seeing each other again? And
are y'all doing it in Nashville?
Yeah.
Nice.
I believe so, right?
Dig it.
Yep.
Dig it. I feel like it would be incredibly weird to just do what we're doing right now and talk to a camera, but there's nobody out there, because a lot of the time you're looking at these people trying to get, you know, some energy from them. So it's going to be a little weird, I think, but I guess we'll just pretend. I can get to some cardboard cutouts of us if you want, if that would help you guys.
I mean, at the end of the day, we've had to shoot videos, obviously, right, where you have to do the performance aspect, there's nobody there, and it's bizarre, and it's just you and a camera doing it five times by yourself or something. But so I think I have the skills to do that. I don't know, we'll see. But also, it's going to be the first time I've played, you know, Breaking Bad guys in quarantine. We all live in different states, you know what I mean? So it's not like you want to come over and jam. It's not really something that's super accessible, nor what we would do. So it's going to be cool to just play live in that thing again. I'm probably going
We'll send you the cardboard cutouts, and Zach Morris and Kelly Kapowski will be over here too. You know, we'll have the whole
Kelly Kapowski. I'm in.
And all that. Yeah.
I'm in. So, dude, Kelly Kapowski.
Sagan.
It's a funny story. Who do you know that has been like kind of forced into being a rock star? And they didn't really want.
They did.
That's like Jason Rao.
I was about to say, am I allowed to answer this?
Yeah.
He was producer, engineering at home, doing songwriting, had his publishing deal and everything. And, you know, he was writing with Benjamin, you know, and doing the stuff. And I think you had like I Will Not Bow and some cuts on that record. And,
Ben.
I want you to come out on the road with me, because he changed bands and whatnot. And Jason just was like, no, man, I'm just, you know, thank you so much, but I want to do my producing thing. And it got to a point where I think that, I mean, you could finish it, Jason. Like, things were dried up and that was the only option. You're like, oh, great. Now I got to go be a rock star.
Yeah, yeah. It is different. You're right. And I kind of do envy it sometimes. Like, I started playing guitar as a super young kid, you know, just like a lot of guys, but the music thing was more the draw to me than it was the appeal and how would to connect with other people. Cause I, at least in my circles and schools like that growing up, like nobody gave a crap. Nobody gave a hell what you were doing there. It was just like, whatever, you're playing guitar, you're that's cool. You know, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I showed up at my talent show and I realized everybody loved me because I played guitar. Like that was not, that's not what happened. Right. I just did it because it's what I did and what I enjoyed. And so for it to come forward and have some success with things, I was more amped about the opportunities and doors that were opening and working with people that influenced me more so than it was playing in front of X amount of people or the rock star kind of thing. That's not my forte, you know. I reluctantly sounds harsh, but.
Well, I think you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
You're all right. Yeah, you're all right.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you for the. Yeah. If not, I'm going to go into radio.
I would say I'll trade you, but I'm not. I'm good.
Man, we love the stuff you did with Breaking Ben, man. I mean, it's classic.
That means a lot. I mean, that's really cool.
And there's, you know, what's interesting is a lot of people, my son's 6 years old. He's got a tutor that's literally, she's probably like 24 years old, but it's so cool to hear even that age, you know, you hear him listening to a lot of pop and stuff nowadays, but it's like, I heard her say, hey, I want to make a cool list on my Spotify. It's going to consist of this and Breaking Benjamin and Korn and like all this was a part of it. I was like, I still have faith in the young age.
Yeah.
Bro, that's right.
Yeah.
Tell them.
Yeah.
It does, man. That kind of rebellious rock thing that all drew us to rock music initially. I mean, that's still there, whether the industry in our genre is thriving like it was in the 90s and 2000s or not.
Remember the email.
All right. So I've got a game, guilty. But we got to talk a little bit more about this streaming. I got to get all the info in there too, but I've got a short game we'll play here in just a second. The new album. Now you're going to stream this from front to back. Like you're playing this entire.
No.
Yeah. Right.
Well, for the live stream.
Okay.
Live stream will have a little bit of everything, so it won't be that kind of thing. It'll have some from the previous album.
Nice. That's going to be awesome. Yeah, that is covers. Actually Friday, February 12th, 2021. Huh? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
It's already looking up. Now, a lot of information will be in this video as well. So if you can't hear me or see me, you should probably see a doctor. But 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Pacific time. What do we got? 7 p.m. Central. We got 8 p.m. Eastern. Again on Friday the 12th, 2021. And here's the cool thing too: if you miss it, don't worry about it. Just buy the ticket. You can. It'll be up for 48 hours. Is that? I'm right in saying that, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yep. Yeah. That is the kind of cool thing about it. That. Obviously, is where we're going to debut it and have it essentially be live, but that content's going to be there for you to view if you can't, or you got to pause it or something like that, you know?
Wait. How much is the ticket?
The tickets are $820 and I'll give you my PayPal if you want to go ahead and do that.
Here, I'll just Venmo you right now.
Just put it on my tab.
Tell them.
I actually have no idea. You tell me.
$50.
Say it again.
$15.
That is a steal, ladies and gentlemen. I'm seeing live streams over here going for $30 and $40. This is going to be better than all of those put together. So you should probably just go ahead and purchase those tickets now. Because if you don't, it's going to be really, really weird.
You're not going to be able to see me mess up.
See?
If you don't. I'm ready.
That's right.
That's just a special moment for everybody. Loveanddeath.veeps.com. Loveanddeath.veeps.com. You can get your tickets right now. All right, gentlemen, do you have some time for a quick game of Would You Rather?
Sure.
Okay. Yes, please.
Okay, now these questions, they might get weird.
They're serious.
Yeah, they're we wouldn't have, it's just, listen. Would you rather vomit through your nose or poop through your mouth?
Vomit through your nose.
Really? Okay.
Vomit through your nose.
Yeah. I think I've actually been there.
Yeah.
I want to say I have.
Okay. Not pooping through your mouth, but vomiting through your nose. Okay.
Yeah. Let it be clear. I have not pooped through my mouth.
Because again, you should probably see some sort of a doctor.
I think I have.
That explains quite a bit.
Yeah.
Really weird. All right. Would you rather be stuck in an elevator with 20 sick people or 20 crying babies?
Ooh. Now, is this pre-COVID or now? Or. Yeah.
Now.
I've had COVID. Let's do this. I'll take my chances.
Ed?
Yeah, bring on the sick people.
I mean, I would definitely say the sick people, because I might just totally lose it with all those babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
I'm with the sick people too, because I have babies. I'm good. I'm going to go with the sick people.
Yep. We've been there.
Yeah. Love my babies, but I'm going to go with the sick people. And last question. Would you rather use a stranger's toothbrush or wear their dirty underwear?
Toothbrush.
Yeah.
Toothbrush. I'm gonna go with that. Yep. No underwear at all. Not even kind of.
Yeah.
That just grosses me out more, man.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
At least there's soap involved with the toothbrush, you know?
That's fair.
Right? Yeah. That's right. That was my thinking. Give 10
that's
times
right.
That thing.
There you go. Right there. That's the game. Would you rather? It's pretty simple, pretty easy. I ripped the Band-Aid and didn't hurt that much. It's pretty good. I dig it. That's it.
I like.
But guys, thank you so much for coming on the show, being on the show, hanging out, doing what you guys do. Love and Death is an amazing project, and we all dig it over here. Hopefully everybody else does. If you want to know more, loveanddeathmusic.com. Also, as I said earlier, loveanddeath.veeps.com. Get your streaming tickets right now. They're $15 freaking, kids. Go do it. Go get it. I will digitally high-five you or whatever. Whatever that means. I don't know.
If you buy three, he'll poop through his mouth.
Right. Yeah! Just saying.
Just
saying.
You heard it first.
We need the clicks. Right, we need the clicks.
That's right.
It. All right. Anyway, rock and roll. Right, if you want to know more about the show, rockcastshow.com. You can go see what's going on over yonder there. That's where we're hanging out pretty much all the time. We have beanbag chairs and all that stuff online. It's good. It's weird. We don't wear pants and we have Cheetos. But go check it out. It's good stuff. Thanks, guys. Jason, appreciate you guys. And we'll see you on down the road.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Yep. Yeah. See you guys.